Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the MIP.
Welcome to this week, MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Man, I'm telling you, you know it's playoff time, so it's always great in playoff time. We will review the divisional round of the playoffs. We will preview the championship round of the playoffs. And there's a lot to talk about in there. A lot of great quarterback play going on. And speaking of great quarterback play, we must talk about some of the great quarterbacks that have played and are now leaving this game. Also, peeps, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it, and we will dive just a toe into it. We got to put a toe into that UFC fight that went on the other day. Holy moly. Oh, my God. That. And we'll talk about a dude that been fighting off offensive linemen to get to those quarterbacks that we were talking about. Calais Campbell, all-pro defensive lineman from the Baltimore Ravens, will join the MIP. That, of course, in the playmakers of the divisional round. All of that fun is about to get done. Let's jump right into this thing, talking right now. And let's break it down just like it went down if we want to. Let's just do it that way. And let's start with, oh, my God, that Saturday game. Oh, Saturday game. Saturday playoffs. Let me break right into this thing because I want to make sure you understand how this thing went down for me. It was heaven right here on earth. I had in my suite. I'm in L.A. Go off the show. I go home. Go back to my suite because I got to come back Sunday to work. I'm watching the divisional round. I'm watching that first game, that Rams-Packers. I got it on my living room TV. My bedroom situated so it's right there. And I can just turn the TV a little bit and I got it right there. I got both of them. I got my eyes on both of them. I had playoff football on one TV. I had UFC fight on the other TV. I got down on my knees, man. And I said, God, I know not what I have done to deserve this, but I thank you. I thank you. And oh, my God. It was great all the way around. Great football. And we will discuss that fight. Oh, my God. What a fight. That Max Holloway and Cater fight? Wait till we talk about that. Let's jump right into that Rams-Packers game because it was insane. It was all insane weekend, man. I think I'm crazy sometimes when I have such love for sports like this. And let's be real. Let me talk straight with you. These are violent sports. These are men crushing each other. Why am I so crazy about watching men crush each other? Because I know. And the crushing of grapes can bring forth great wine. What kind of man are you? Are you just sour old grapes? Or in your crushing, do you bring forth great wine. Michael, it's not time to preach, just time to speak on some football. Rams, Packers, division around. That game Saturday, let's break that thing down. Did you see what went down in that game? Oh, my God. I just knew going into that game, I said, I don't know how it all came down for me to Aaron Donald. I don't know how Aaron Donald's going to play in this game when he had to leave the last game. But he played, but he was not Aaron Donald. The real Aarons were on the other side. And that was Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. Those were the dudes that went down. And I can even say, you can even add in the other guy, because I like to call that Packer group they got the Triple A group. Aaron, and Adams. That's who they is, the Triple A group. No matter what you do, you break down, they come around. Or you can say they make you break down, that Triple A group, and they showed up. A couple things I want to point out in that game. Whenever you got Aaron Rodgers having a rush game like Aaron Jones is giving the Packers, you got something going. I believe this is why my great, great quarterback that I love greatly didn't end up with his ring, because Jimmy Johnson never could get Dan Marino to buy into sometimes just turn around and hand the ball off. Dan Marino had been going 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. I'm throwing this. And now you're telling me to hand it off and trust somebody else? I've gotten here, one of the greatest in the game, by throwing it. I'm not going to hand it off. And I think that battle raged between Jimmy and Dan never had a chance to get there because he never bought into it. Aaron Rodgers has bought into it. I don't know if he bought into it because he just bought into it, because he bought into it because he said, well, if I don't buy into it, they're going to put the guy they just drafted, Jordan Love, in. But he bought into it this year, and they have been rocking. They now have a real triplets going with that Triple A group. The most important part in this game, why the Packers beat the Rams, I'll tell you this. And I love Matt LaFleur for this. Matt LaFleur said, I can't let you take this out. I can't let you take out my best player and Devontae Adams because of what it may do to my team. So soon as they got down to the green, in the green zone, you saw what he did. He did that reverse motion, ran Devontae Adams across the field where Jalen Ramsey got to cut back, get around the linebackers, get around the corners, and bam, straight to the corner. Pew, quick touchdown. Jalen Ramsey was jumping up, all mad. It sent a signal to everybody on the sideline of the Green Bay Packers. Our best is better than their best. Look at what he's doing. Our best got their best already frustrated. I know it was a small thing, and it was just a short touchdown, but it had so many ramifications on it. I want you guys to see the game like that. This is an emotional game. Emotions. And it's a game where you got to have hope. And I always tell people, hope dictates effort. When you have a lot of hope, you'll give all the effort in the world. But if you have little hope, you'll give less effort. When he saw Devontae Adams catching a touchdown on Jalen Ramsey, the Packers got more hope. Our guy is better than their guy. Our best guy better than their best guy. Oh, here we go. We will win this game. And they did. And they did. So now the Packers move on and host an NFC Championship game this Sunday, which we will discuss. Let's move on to the other game Saturday, that Ravens-Bills game. This is what trips me out in the NFL. And I always tell you guys this. You're going to have to pass the class that you have not passed. You ain't going to make it here and pass classes. Everything without passing classes. You won't do it in the NFL. You're not going to the Super Bowl without passing. Whatever you didn't do well, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. And that game right there, the Ravens-Bills game, I said, here we go now. Here we go. And that game started out, it was a tight game. It was a fighting game. They were going back and forth. Bills did a great job on defense and slowing down that Ravens potent offense. They attacked. All they did was blitz everything. They said, the Bills aren't big enough to withstand the Ravens, but they're fast enough, and they just sent everybody. They said, we're pressing your line, your wide receivers. We want everybody on the line of scrimmage. And what stands out to me in that game is Lamar Jackson had never, ever in his career thrown a green zone interception. Never in his career has thrown a green zone interception. That was a remarkable thing to have on your resume until last Saturday. And the first one he throws becomes a 101-yard pick six that turns the game. That game was 10-3. That game was right there. That's a 14-point swing. The 7 you didn't get and the 7 they just got. A 14-point swing that swung that game. And the game ended 17-3. It was 10-3. You were about to tie it at 10-10. A pick six and a 14-point swing. And Ravens, you have to go home and deal with this pain for the rest of the offseason. That was something to watch. And we'll talk to Calais Campbell about what that was like in that game. And Calais, they did their job. The Bills didn't even try to run. I think they had like 32 yards total in that game. Didn't even try to run. They used the passing game, Diggs and John Brown, actually. And that's what I got to talk about too now. They only really used Diggs and John Brown. But when we preview this game that they're about to play, it's going to take more than just those two to get in this fight and win their next fight. But boy, Lamar, I feel for him. Because we talk about this in the playoffs, one play can change everything. For the Ravens, that was the one play that changed everything. When we move to Sunday, I'm going to point out in those games the play that changed everything. That Browns-Chiefs game, that game started out a good battle. I saw something in the mindset of what the Browns were attempting to do. They came in to be physical. And I like that. I wanted them to be physical. I thought what the Bills had done on Saturday where they threw the ball like the first 14 times, you know, they talk about those 15 plays, your first 15 scripted. I thought that the Browns should have come out with their first 15 scripted and hit you in your mouth plays. I would have run 15 straight run plays right down their throat to set a tone. But they did set that tone of a physical football game. They said it. They said it so hard that and so well that and they were so physical that the Chiefs lost Patrick Mahomes in this game. Lost Patrick Mahomes in this game. Chad Henne had to come in and win the game. And he won the game on a scramble on a 3rd and 14. He went all the way down 13 and a half yards. 13 and a half yards on 3rd and 14. He ran for 13 and a half yards to put this game away. You know, they go for it on 4th down. He throws a quick pass to Tyreek Hill, which is take all kind of cojones for Andy Reid to call that with a backup quarterback in a trip to the AFC Championship game on the line. But Andy Reid did, and they won. They won. The play that turned everything in that game. Remember, when it's playoff football, one play can send you home. And you've heard from this man. He's a great friend of mine. And I'd imagine I'll be seeing him sooner or later here over at the workouts. But that Rashard Higgins fumble through the end zone and out of the end zone, that's the one play I say, wow, that turned that whole game. Because the Browns, they score right there. They're right back in that thing. That was a huge, huge play. And I'm with everybody. We have to do something about that rule. You know, you fumble the ball through the end zone. You didn't get, the defense didn't get the ball. They didn't recover the ball. So why am I sitting here losing the ball altogether if the defense did not cover the ball? Why? Well, we have to say we have to do something. We have to say that. Listen, okay, you fumble it through the end zone, and the defense doesn't recover it. We come back and put it on the one-yard line of where you fumbled it at. You fumble the ball through the end zone. Defense don't recover it. How do you get a defense the ball on the 20-yard line? It's been way too long. It's too severe of a punishment. They didn't even recover the ball. Or if you don't want to put it on the spot, say, okay, you fumble through the end zone and you were on the 2-yard line. You get the ball back, but we place you back on the 20. I'll take that. But you can't just it's just too severe. It's too severe to give it up. But that being said, I felt for Rashard because right then you have to think, man, I can't fumble this ball. Bad as I want that touchdown, I can't fumble the ball. And I wish he would have seen all of that and protected that ball a little bit better. Let's go to that last game Saturday and review, man. And it was a game of the great old goats. 43-year-old Tom Brady, 42-year-old Drew Brees. And those first two games where the Saints had beaten Tampa, it had all been about the turnovers that Tom Brady committed. In this game, Tom only threw for 199 yards. He had two TDs. Ronald Jones rushed for 62, Fournette rushed for 63 yards. But they didn't have any turnovers. And Drew Brees, he threw 434 yards and one touchdown. But he had three turnovers. You hear people all the time say, well, turnovers are the biggest indicator in the NFL. And you say, oh, shut up. Tell me some real information. Give me something. They are giving you something. That is the truth. You turn that ball over, you severely hurt your chances of winning a football game. In the turnover, in the play that turned that game, I'll give it to you right now. You saw it. Oh, my God, you saw it. Did you not see on that first fumble by Jared Cook when Devin White picked that ball up and took it back, that first fumble? Oh, my God, I saw it. When the guy punched the ball out of his hands and you'll see Jared reaching for the ball, you can see him say, oh, my God, oh, no, oh, no. And the ball was gone. And he said to himself, I just lost the game. I just sent us home. And he's trying to reconcile with that issue. And Drew Brees come back to him later, throws him a ball. Ball hits right off his shoulder pads, bounce in the air, and they intercept that one. Man, I felt bad for Jared Cook. I felt bad. But those plays were crucial. And the Bucs, not the Saints, are marching on. The Bucs are marching on to the NFC championship game. Tom Brady is going to the NFC championship game. Tom Brady, who played over in New England all them years, who just got to Tampa. That's insane, people. That's crazy. He's in the NFC championship game. Wow. Talking about a legacy Tom Brady's writing. That's just off the chain. I know it was insane before, but that next step right here, Tom versus the Packers in the conference championship game, the NFC championship game this Sunday, is insane for Tom Brady to accomplish. I got to give him all praise, man, all glory to you, buddy. What an accomplishment that is to get this team here. Now, can Tom get this team to the Super Bowl in Raymond James, his home stadium right now? Let's discuss how he must go about trying to get that done. Let's discuss that championship game, that first one, that Bucs at the Packers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I can't wait Sunday, 3 Eastern. That game will kick off. It is going to be, oh, my God, it's going to be something worth watching. I was on Inside the NFL yesterday, shooting with Ray and the guys, and we were discussing this game, and Ray kept saying, oh, everybody keep going back to week 6. Everybody keep going back to week 6. Week 6, both of these teams played each other. Bucs played Packers in week 6. And also, week 6, the Bills played the Chiefs. But that game in week six between the Bucks and the Packers, I don't want to go back. I won't go back, but I just want to peek. I just want to peek over there. I want to peek over there because the Packers have a big three. And we talked about that earlier. I called them the triple A. And I remember we had a big three. If somehow we went into every game, Emin and I saying we will win somehow by land or by air. Don't matter. You pick your poison. You want to stop me in the pass game? Emin going to beat you in the run game. You want to stop Emin and put everybody in the box in the run game? I'm going to cut your throat in the pass game. Don't matter to me. Pick your poison. That's what we used to say. And that's what Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers has been to everybody in the NFL this year. Except Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay did them dirt. Tampa Bay played them well. Aaron Jones only had 15 yards rushing. Aaron Rodgers threw two picks and had a 35 passer rating. They did them dirty. I'm telling you, if they do anything close to what they did in week six, if the Bucs can do anything close to that, and I know they won't get that because Aaron Rodgers will have some success. He will make some plays with Devontae Adams. I don't think the Packers will be able to run the ball on the Bucs. Bucs are very good at stopping the run. But I do worry about the Bucs' back end. I worry about the back end because of Aaron Rodgers, who can move. If he could buy a little time, Devontae Adams will gobble them up like dots, and he's Pac-Man. He will gobble them up. I know they played better lately, and they played pretty good against Michael Thomas, this secondary. But Michael Thomas plays the short game. Devontae Adams plays the intermediate game. The short game is anywhere 5 to 8 yards on the field. Devontae Adams, his game goes all the way up to 20, 25 yards. It's a lot more field to cover. And Devontae Adams is a lot more difficult to cover since he's short and up the field. And I think he'll have a good day. But I do believe the Bucs got a shot at coming out of this game. Now, it's between these two quarterbacks. The crucial mistake. It will be a crucial mistake in here. By one of these quarterbacks, one of these greats, will make a crucial mistake and send his team home. And we will talk about that next week. And I'm going to try to point that crucial mistake out because I promise you it will happen. That's how this thing goes down. But I like the Bucs' chance. And I think that'll be, oh, my God, what a story. Either one of these guys get to a Super Bowl, it's going to be an ignorant story. You know, Aaron Rodgers coming in, going to the Super Bowl after you draft his replacement. That's a crazy story. And Tom Brady, we can't even begin to talk about the leaves on that tree if Tom Brady gets to a Super Bowl in Raymond James Stadium. You can't even start to talk about what that means. That's just insane for his legacy and for who he is. With all of these very gifted-looking guys, they, when you see the Aaron Rodgers, and you see all these other athletes at quarterback, Tom Brady would be the most likely to have the kind of career that he has had. He would be the most likely to have the kind of career that he has had, but yet he has had this. And if he can put this cherry on top, shut it down. We don't ever have to have a conversation about who's the greatest quarterback. That conversation's gone. Just shut it all down. I don't know if we ever have to have a conversation about who's the greatest leader on a football field. I think you could shut down that question too if he does that, especially if he goes and wins a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. It would be shut them all down. And if you got a crown, get a damn thing to Tom and stop playing around. I didn't mean for all that to rhyme, but it did. Let's get to the last game because I can't wait to watch this game too. Everybody keep talking about, you think Patrick Mahomes going to play? Stop it, people. Stop it. Patrick Mahomes will play in this football game. That AFC Championship game, Bills versus Chiefs. No way will Patrick Mahomes not play. And this is what trips me out too because I got somebody on the airplane the other day. They said, man, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, man, you think the NFL arranged that? He wasn't really hurt. He said, are you joking? You saw that dude stumble? Did you not see that dude stumble? He stumbled. He was really hurt. And Patrick Mahomes ain't going to go along with the NFL. He wants to mark his own history. I want to be the greatest. I got to get these things now. Tom Brady is in his 14th championship game. First as the NFC, all the rest was in the AFC. Insane. And Patrick Mahomes would be the man that will have a chance at trying to do some of the things that he has done. And Patrick Mahomes ain't playing no game with nobody. He's trying to get his history. He's writing his history. Tom Brady already has his history. He's making more, but we're going to reminisce on Tom's history forever. Patrick Mahomes writing his, and he ain't finna let nobody mess with how well he writes. He's going to play in that game, and this game is going to be a battle between the two young quarterbacks for supremacy in the NFL. In the AFC also, usually when teams are getting ready to play the Chiefs, I say, well, don't battle quarterback to quarterback. I didn't want Baker Mayfield battling against Patrick Mahomes. I usually say that, but not here. This is Josh Allen. You must beat Patrick Mahomes. You must outplay Patrick Mahomes. Point blank, period, as the young folks like to say. You are a passing team. You got to use your arm to beat this dude right here. I would love for you to try to put in some runs to keep him on the sideline, but you're going to have to use your arm to win this game. And I think you'll have to play the perfect game if you're Josh Allen. I know you got Stephon Diggs, I know they took Davis and Beasley out of the game last week. You can't allow that to happen. He has to use everything he has if he's Josh Allen, and he can't make the crucial mistake. He can't turn the ball over. You can't throw any interceptions. And every time you get down in the green zone, you can't come away with field goals. You got to walk away with touchdowns. That's how you beat the Giants. The Cleveland Browns had the Giants on the ropes. Had them on the ropes. And they let them off. So now, the residual of all of what Cleveland did, having them on the ropes, him rope-a-doping, just taking the punches, and then letting him off, that means, Buffalo, you better be ready. Because Patrick Mahomes will throw haymakers at you. He's not going back on the ropes. He's throwing haymakers at you. And I think he's going to connect on those haymakers, and we will see him in the Super Bowl. Going up against Tom Brady. It's the young goat versus the old goat. It's a goat fest. That's what we will have. A goat fest at the Super Bowl. That's going to be incredible. That's going to be insane. I already got my schedule. I will be there for that. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes throwing haymakers, I got to dip my toe in this water. That fight the other day, guys, between Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. Oh, if you didn't see it, punch it up. I didn't mean when I use the word punch, I didn't mean, you know, but punch it up. You'll see what I'm talking about when you see it. When I'm telling you to punch this fight up, you punch this fight up. It was incredible, man. Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar, it's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. And it was just one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. Max has come off a couple of disappointing losses, and he has been the champ. For those of you who don't know UFC, he's so good. He's once considered the greatest of his weight class. Took out Aldo, who was the greatest before him. Took him out twice. Calvin Kattar is a puncher. A bad mother brother that would knock you out with one blow. Dog, they went swinging. I mean, he was swinging. And Kattar was fighting hard at first, man. But in the end, Max was just too much. Max broke records, UFC records. Get this. On significant strikes thrown, Max broke a UFC record. He had 744. You know what the previous record was? It was 515. 744, dog. That's putting in work, dog. That's putting in work. That's stinging people. Distance strike, 439. New record. The previous record was 281. Okay. Landed head strikes, the record he set, 274 landed head strikes. The previous record was 244. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen by a fighter, and I watched this thing like I watched the NFL. But to that, Kevin Cater, if he walked in the room right now, I'd get on my knees and say, Cater, he was a man dog. So I'm talking about, man, Kevin Cater took some punch. The only reason you can get this record is you kept hitting that man, and he stood right there. Now, he ain't just standing right there. He stumbled all around the damn octagon. He was stumbling everywhere. I mean, he was stumbling. He was hitting, but he wouldn't fall. I was watching this thing as I'm watching a football game, and in my mind, I got three things going. I got the football game going. I got the UFC fight going, and I'm watching the UFC fight, and in my head, I got Raging Bull the movie. I'm like, this is a live Raging Bull movie. Kevin Cater, he never went down. And I thought, and as Max was hitting him, I'm telling y'all got to watch this. As Max was hitting him, Max was turning to the ref. It was like he was Babe Ruth pointing his home run. It was like he was pointing his home run. He was telling everybody what he was about to do. He said, come on, y'all keep fighting. And then, then he'll hit him five more times. And then he'll look over to the judges. Y'all judges, and hit him five more. I was like, oh, my God. I was jumping all around the room. It was crazy. But Cater never went down. And I thought, since Max was doing all that stuff with the judges, if Cater, and I know no way he could be in the right state of mind, but if Cater, he could have grabbed some history. If he could have just, when they stopped the fight, turned to Max and said, Max, I never went down, Max. I never went down, Max. You remember in the movie? When the dude Raging Bull, the dude turned, and he got beat down. He got beat down like Cater. It was just like Cater. And in the movie, he said, I never went down, Ray. I never went down. Cater should have turned to the camera and said, I never went down, because he didn't go down. Are you talking about a man that earned some respect in a loss? It's the way he lost. He lost with all heart. And I can't wait to see Cater fight again. Because that kind of dude, I give him much props, man. I give him much props. But that was last week. Now this week, I'll have Championship Sunday, but I'll have UFC 257. And it's the return of Conor McGregor fighting Dustin Poirier. Now these dudes fought before, and Conor McGregor beat him. And I'm going to tell you my thoughts on this. I think the UFC is smart here and not throwing Conor back, right back to the dogs and putting him around Khabib. You see, Khabib's already talking about coming back. I told y'all this thing. Y'all know how this thing works. Y'all know how things work. They just suck us into this. Now, Conor comes back and he goes and fight Dustin, right? Right? And they set it up now. You know, remember Conor beat Cowboy's a great friend of mine. Cowboy Cerrone, good dude. I love him. Up in Albuquerque. Much props to you, my brother. You know you're my brother. But Conor beat Cowboy Cerrone, and now they want to line him up with Dustin, so hopefully he can get another win. And then he's going to have to look at that beast. That beast, I saw that beast walk in a room with Dana White on social media the other day. I ain't going to lie. I got so hyped. I said, oh, my God. There he is. He's coming back. Because I love greatness. I love greatness in any form, any sport, anything you do, I want to be around it. And understand the difference between great and greatness. Great says I did some good things in time. I had a great moment in time. Greatness said I had great moments over time. I continue to have them over and over and over and over again. Then I want to hear what you got to say. And Khabib he's hit greatness. He's hit greatness. So I when he walked in that room, I was looking forward to it. So it perked my interest even more on this Conor McGregor stuff that's going down this weekend. I'm going to watch. Don't care what nobody say. I know they hoodwinking me, putting Dustin in the ring first, and then already got me going, watching Khabib go in a room. Now I'm already ready. I'll give you the money for this fight, and I'll pay you early for that fight if you're telling me it's coming. I'm already waiting on it. I can't wait to see it. I'm just telling y'all. That's some good stuff, man. If you love combat sport, if you love football, I'm telling you, you got to tune this stuff on. It's the greatest stuff in the world. Let's speak to one of the baddest boys in the world. That's defensive tackle. He is a run-stopping specialist. Calais Campbell on MIP. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Hey, joining the MIP right now is one of the baddest men in the National Football League. He's from the University of Miami. That's right. Do you, my you, his you. He's a DT. This man drafted in 2008 by the Arizona Cardinals, and we got to talk about this. A second rounder, but let me tell you what this man has done in the National Football League. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. Walter Payton, Man of the Year. He's been to Super Bowls and championship games. This man has actually played against Tom Brady in an AFC championship game, so we will talk to him about that. Joining me, defensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens, Calais Campbell, my good friend. How are you, my brother?
Man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man, living a good life.
We are blessed and highly favored, Calais. So, you know, you start with that, Calais. That's just kind of, you know, you that kind of dude, Calais. I would say, you know what, the kind of man you are, and it's just what hits me first. Just now, I would liken you to what Reggie White was in our days. I don't know how much you know about Reggie White, but Reggie White, you know, of course, he was a bad man on the football field, Calais. But he was a great dude, man, a great dude. Anytime you whip Reggie over at the Pro Bowl, everybody kind of comes around Reggie. He's the biggest dude, but the best and most lovable dude. You remind me of him. Has anybody ever told you that?
No, I never heard that before, but that's a heck of a compliment. You know, I'm a football fan, a football historian, and Reggie is, you know, definitely the pinnacle of a defense alignment, you know, where everybody strives to be. So that's a complete honor to be mentioned to St. Breakfast.
Yeah, that's a bad man now. I watched him. And then I watched other dudes when we got ready to play Reggie be like, oh, my God. Man. You ever seen an old video where Reggie actually throws a dude. It's a defense. This is an offensive lineman. Dude, 320 pounds, and he's flying in the air. It's the most incredible thing to watch on film that I've ever seen on film, buddy.
Yeah, it's a thing of beauty. The thing about Reggie White to me, that just I'm like, how did he play without gloves? My man played without gloves, not even finger tape. I mean, he'd tape his wrist up, you know, but no finger tape or nothing. I couldn't imagine going out there when I have a finger tape and gloves around my hands. I wanted to try it because I wanted to be like Reggie, but I was like, I don't know, man.
What does that do? Explain to people why that's so important. Like when you have the gloves, what is it? How does that help you?
Yeah, so I mean, I use my hands every single play. I put my hands on somebody as hard as I could put them on the offensive lineman. And a lot of times your fingers get bent up, you know, your fingernails get broke, and just it's a lot of pain that goes through your hands. And so I tape my knuckles up, you know, to try to give them some protection. I also put the gloves on with padding to give them some protection. So for when I see defensive linemen go out there without gloves, it's like, you're just such a bad man that don't even faze you. You know, you don't need no protection. You know, and we use these, I use my hands every single play. I'm putting them on somebody hard as can be. Run, pass, no matter.
Hey, hidden helmets, hidden pads, you know what I mean? It ain't like you're just putting it on body parts. You putting it on hard objects, you know what I'm saying? Grabbing, man, it's a hell of a game. Enough. But, Calais, let's start with last week, man. You guys had a hell of a season.
You know, you start out slow. Down the stretch, Baltimore just takes off. You know, Lamar Jackson takes off. Last week, it all came to an end in Buffalo, man. Take me through the season you guys had in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know what? It's just, it seems like just a little premature, man. I feel like it ended prematurely. You know, we were such a talented team and we had all the pieces in place. And I knew that, you know, I mean, you need football fortune. You need things to go your way. And it wasn't our day, you know. But overall as a season, like, I feel like it was incomplete. You know, it wasn't good enough. You know, it was a season. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of beauty in it. You know, we developed a strong bond coming to a new team. You know, your teammates, and really we had like a great locker room presence, especially, you know, going through all the COVID stuff and, you know, the stuff where Earl at the beginning of the year and all the different things. You know, it's easy to make an excuse for us, but I don't want no excuse. I mean, I knew what this team had, and, you know, and just, you know, last week when the game was there, you know, we didn't take advantage of it. We didn't make the plays we need to win, and it breaks my heart. But I do know that that pain is going to drive me and all my teammates. And, you know, I'm hoping that pain can lead us, you know, back here again with an opportunity, and we won't mess it up.
You see what you're saying, man? And I try to tell people, if people tried to get on me, Cliff, you know, when the Eagles played the Washington football team and the Giants were tweeting like, oh, man, the Eagles didn't play hard, didn't play. And I said, I don't mind the tweets from the fans. I don't mind the tweets from anybody, but I don't want to hear from the Giants. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear. Because, listen, Claire, it's just what you just said, though. You just said it. I said, when the Giants pointing over there at Philadelphia, when you had 16 games.
You had 16 games.
You know what I mean? And right now you're pointing at Philadelphia, you're going to put the blame over there, and you want to absorb this pain. I want you to absorb this pain and say, no, this is on me. Just what you just said. So when I'm training, I'm going to remember this and make sure next year is not on you. And take care. That's right there. Make sure the pain is in the right place when it doesn't work out. You talked about coming over there for your first time, your first year, you know, and you've been other places. You know, you've been Arizona, of course, been to Jacksonville, of course. You got in the Super Bowl championship. They brought you in, Calais. They brought you in to help with that championship pedigree there and to stop that big boy over there in Tennessee. They needed somebody to help stop that big boy. Did they talk to you about that when they brought you over to Baltimore?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of one of those things where, like, so when I first got traded, you know, Coach Harbs gets on the phone, and he tells me, like, you know, hey, watching my tape and how he likes how I played his zone scheme. And he was talking actually about the Browns, you know, in Tennessee. And, you know, there's a couple other teams he mentioned that we play that really run that scheme very well, and they got some great backs. So he was like, we need to combat that. So, you know, we're bringing you in. And he says we'll bring another guy, which happened to be Derek Wolfe, that we can, you know, we can just rotate, stay fresh, and we could dominate the run game. And so, you know, it was cool to see. Now, there's a couple games in the regular season where it kind of got away from us, and we felt like, you know, I wanted to do something historic. I wanted to set the, you know, the record for it, you know, but it just didn't work out that way. But in the playoffs came, you know, we definitely stepped up and played the level we were capable of playing. And it was cool to see because Derrick Henry, I mean, it's a bad man. I got so much respect for the game. That man, he's an incredible football player. And so, you know, I brought everything I had. I came with all the energy, all the emotion, everything I had, all my body. You know, I was going there and making sure that he wasn't going to run on us. And that helped us win that first ball game. And then the crazy thing about it is the next ball game, the Bills, they didn't even really try to run. They was like looking at this and they was like, man, hey, it's pointless to even try to run. We're going to just throw the ball every play. You know, and they end up after they got
it
a few times, but they only ran the ball like 8 times.
Yeah, they started out the game throwing. They threw the ball like 13, 14 times to start the game. And it was windy. And I was like, oh, my God, so they're not even trying. They just gave that up.
In the first half, they ran the ball one play to the running back. And it was like right before halftime, just, you know, 2-minute warning to start, 2-minute warning off. Ran the ball one time. You had a quarterback scramble a couple times, which counted as a couple runs. But they had one running play. The whole first half.
Glass, man, to be known as that guy that can stop the run, to be move around, it make teams come after you. Teams say, that's an asset. We need that. Somebody stop the run. I tell you, it's so important in this game. Be able to run and certainly be able to stop the run and force a team to pass because, you know, they get so many opportunities to make a mistake in that sense. You've gone up against some bad boys at running back. Where would you rank like a Derrick Henry? Who are the baddest boys you had to stop? Like you said, when you knew you were getting ready to play, like, okay, this is going to be a game. We're going to put my stuff on. I know we're about to do some rocking in here.
So early on, Frank Gore was the first one. Frank Gore, you know, and I had played with him in University of Miami, so I knew what he was about. But we used to play against San Francisco early on in Arizona. Frank Gore, man, he was our nemesis. That man used to just, I mean, he'd find a way to get a crease and go. And he was so speedy, you had to shift down the line. So you had to be perfect, and or you had to shed quick and go down the line and go get him. You know, and he was number one. And then it became Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was
– oh, yeah.
Well, that's a bad man. Marshawn Lynch, to me, is the best running back I played against in my era. You know, he's the best running back I played against. And that's including Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, you know, he's a bad man. He's one of the best running backs I ever played the game. He might end up being better than Marshawn. But to me, Marshawn used to make me bring my A game each and every time. And even when I brought my A game, sometimes he was just hoping it's enough because he's that good.
Wait. Is it he's that strong? Or was he more elusive? What made Marshawn Lynch what you would call the baddest man you had to deal with?
Well, that's what it was, you know, because, you know, I mean, running backs understand that D linemen, you can't run over for the most part. You know, running backs try to avoid us, you know, with their quickness. They try to go laterally, jump cut, stiff arms, but they don't try to lower their shoulder, run you over too often. But Marshawn Lynch had a different mentality. He didn't care who you were. He was trying to lower his shoulder and run through you. And if you didn't bring your A game, he was going to run through you. You know, he got a lot of my teammates. He got a lot of my teammates. He didn't get me, though.
Have y'all ever joked about that? You know, like say you, because, you know, I always tell people, if you win the game, Monday film session is great. If you're on the NFL team, you win Sunday, everybody comes in Monday. We have so much fun watching film. You get the joke at who got beat. Oh, dog, did he just run you over? You know what I mean? It's all fun. Now, when you lose, ain't nobody joking. You know, it's serious business. You got to correct that. You don't even want to watch the tape. So give me a story. One time when y'all coming in, and Marshawn Lynch ran somebody over. Y'all sitting in film room saying, dog, how you let him get you like that? Who did y'all mess with, or who did he get?
Oh man, I'm trying to go back. You know, that's going back in the day. He got a little bit of everybody. You know, yeah. Now there was a couple years though where like they were the bullies on the block, and they got us. Right. I mean, they came down to Arizona one year, but we thought we were pretty good still. You know, we were starting to get going, and they beat us. What was it, 58-0 or something like that, or 58-3 or something crazy. He ran for, you know, probably .170, like 3 touchdowns, and like literally like just ran through our team. And I'm sitting here like just in pain, just, oh, pain. And so the next year when we played him, you know, we got to get good back. You know, we got to make sure they don't happen again.
It's a checking of my man. I know what he did last time. If I let him do it again, I got to deal with me in the mirror. This is the checking of my manhood.
Exactly. But you know, he still got us a couple times as far as running us over, in a sense, a couple guys. I can't recall like the perfect story on who, but I just remember like, you know, that we watched the game and he probably had like 40 yards and we shut him down. You know, but he still picked up a couple bodies along the way, though. That 40 yards was a hard-earned 40 yards.
He always brings it, man. I love watching him. I love his mentality, too, man. He's a bad man. I wonder if ultimately how we look at his career, you know what I mean? Because he's done such incredible things, man. He has great moments that we will mark in history. And talking about a little bit of history, tell me something though, Clarence. When you're in your first year over there in Baltimore, what did you see in Lamar Jackson? Like when you first got there, you had seen him from afar, but when you first got there, you hit the first chance to go through all the COVID, you first get a chance to get on the practice. What were your initial thoughts when you saw this dude?
You know, honestly, you could just tell how much he loves the game. You know, he loves the game of football, man. He's out there like a kid in the backyard just throwing around with the boys. You know, like I mean, we used to do.
That Florida boy stuff in him.
Yeah, man. Like, being a kid, you just couldn't wait to go out with your brothers and toss the ball around, hoping the other kids in the neighborhood could come out and play. you know, that's how he plays the game. He plays the game like it's just straight backyard, want to go hang out with the guys and go play. You could tell he loves it like that, you know. So when he's outside and we go to practice and stuff, I mean, he's a big kid getting to live the dream, you know, which is how I feel too. So it's a lot of love and respect, you know. And then you just, you know, you see him throw a ball, man, and you just see that, you know, I mean, it's pure. He throws a beautiful ball. And I know a lot of people get on him a lot, but people forget my man is 24 years old. He just turned 24 years old too. I mean, he turned 24, what, 2 weeks ago. Right. He's a young man, you know, that's maturing and developing and getting better. And I talked to him a lot about, like, you know, the growth. And I talked to him how, you know, how when I used to watch Kurt Warner, how Kurt Warner used to do things and the development. But, you know, Kurt Warner was what he was, you know, 30, 36, 37, you know, in the time. Right. I mean, you know, he's had time and he did things as a, you know, as a, how a coordinator would do things, you know, preparing for a game. But, you know, he was a grown man with a lot of experience, a lot of knowing how to. And so with Lamar, he's just figuring it out. He's going through it, and he's very smart. He's a highly intelligent guy. And, you know, and I'm like, man, hey, in due time, I think he has a chance to go and be one of those guys and get a gold jacket. Now, obviously, a lot of stuff has to fall into place, you know, as far as health and, you know, and all that good stuff. But my man is very gifted. And he's 24. No, he just scratched the surface. I know we got it's a young man's game, though. These young cats are coming up.
Young cats, you know? Yeah, they are players, man. But and you bring up something, man. You bring up something that I don't think people even understand the depth of it. Because we put so much pressure on quarterbacks. Go find your quarterback, they can take you to a Super Bowl, you know. And they'll come out with quarterbacks like we come out with our Aaron Rodgers, supposed to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And he's a bad man. But even Aaron Rodgers only went one time. You know what I'm saying? And these great Brett Favre only had one ring. Drew Brees only got one ring. Man, it's a hell of a thing to play that position, and especially when you've had great success like he has, and the expectations put on top of that. It's like you don't even get a chance to be a kid, and you don't get a chance to fail, man. It's a hard go. I get on people, even like what goes on with Dwayne Haskins. Like, okay, you know, Dwayne Haskins. 22, 23 years old. Are we going to ruin this man's life because we caught him in a strip club? I mean, it was a bad decision on his part. It was a bad decision on his part. Worst time in the world, breaking protocol, all that. But he's 22 years old. You know what I'm saying? And in this world, we put so much pressure on those young men, man, to be perfect model citizens, And we snatch things out when they mess up one time. I just think that's a little much. And I think it's such a great thing to have you in that locker room to help guide Lamar. You know what I mean? To help guide Lamar and give him some of that wisdom, because people are waiting for some kind of fall. You know what I mean? Do you guys ever talk about that?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when I talk to him, he realizes that people, you know, there's people out there that don't want him to succeed. You know, I mean, that's how it is, you know, for everybody, really, but especially in the limelight that he's in and the way he goes about his job. I mean, the guy does it with so much poise and I commend the way he carries himself every day coming to work. He has a chip on his shoulder, and he should, because there are a lot of people out there that don't think he can play football at a high level. And that chip just keeps getting bigger and bigger, you know, but he puts the work in. He's willing to put the work in. Now, at 24 years old, he's trying to figure out what's the most efficient way for him to study, what's the efficient way for him to prepare so that he can go out there and be successful. And he has to figure out, because everybody's, you know, every tactic is different. You know, I got to figure out what works for me. He got to figure out what works for him. And it's just trying different things and seeing which one responds well. And that's what he's doing. You know, and at 24 years old, he has time. You know, the thing about it is he shined. He shined bright early. And so now people put more pressure on him. The more success you have, the more pressure comes with it. So like, oh, he made it to the playoffs. So now we want to see more. Can he win a playoff game? Well, yeah, he won a playoff game. Now can he get to the Super Bowl? Well, you know, that's next on the list. You know, let's get to the Super Bowl and let's win it, you know. But my man is just – he's making stages. He's checking marks, you know. And I tell you, you know, in that draft class, there's a lot of good quarterbacks came out of that draft class. Three of them in the playoffs.
That was a good class. Right. That was a great class. You're right.
And I mean, he's the one with the MVP, you know, he's the one, you know, now, they all have a playoff win now. And I think they all will be really good quarterbacks and competing against each other for a long time, all being in the AFC and all, you know, him and Baker in the same division. And then with, you know, with Buffalo, I think there's going to be a rivalry brewing there. And so it's going to be fun to see, you know, but I think when it's all said and done, you know, maybe I'm biased because he's my teammate, but I think he's going to be the best of them all.
Well, how many years will he be your teammate? How many more years will Calais Campbell tower over a defensive line, over that defensive line and start runs all in the NFL? Have you thought about that? Oh, you got it 12 years now, Calais?
13 years.
Think about it, Claire. Think about that. You remember when you came in as a young freshman looking at dudes that got 10 or 12 years in and be like, man, dude, you've been around here forever. Now you the forever.
Yeah, man. I used to get the old jokes with the best of them. I used to give everybody, all the old guys, a hard time. And now look at me, man. I get the old jokes every day. It really is a blessing. But I feel like I still got some good ball in me. I don't know how many years I got left. I got one more year on my contract, but I feel like I got some good ball in me. You know, I missed some games this year for the first time in a while, which was kind of hard on me, you know, on my, right, on my mental, because, you know, I'm used to playing. You know, I ain't used to sitting on the sideline. So I got hurt and I had to sit down for a little bit, tried to come back a little early and didn't push, you know, that wasn't me out there when I was hurt. I had to get myself all the way healthy, but, you know, that's going to play a big role. But this next year, I feel like, you know, I'm going to prepare as if it's a year where I can still be an all-pro, still be a defense player of the year caliber player, and I'm going to go out there and give it everything I got, and we'll see what happens, man. But, I feel like I'm going to sacrifice and pay the price one more time and see if we can get to the mountaintop.
Okay, and then I want to ask you about the playoff games coming up, just your thoughts on a macro level. But before I do that, let me ask you this. If you rev it up one more time, Drew Brees, just retired. Well, we expect. Well, let's talk about all of you guys. Phillip Rivers just retired. You know what I mean? Phillip Rivers just retired. Drew Brees, they think he may retire. But if you wrap this thing up one more time and you get in that playoff next year and you win the Super Bowl, like, I mean, you know, the ultimate dream is to ride off on a championship. You know, me and Ray Lewis were talking about that last night. But when you win, you be like, dude, we do this again. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute. I'd rather try and not do it than think for the rest of my life, should I have tried? Well, which way would you go? If y'all win it next year, would Calais say, I want to ride off on the white horse? Or, dog, I don't know. We may be able to do this again, especially with my young quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good thought. I don't know. I do know that I love this game of football, man. I love it with all my heart. And if God blesses me with health and where I can still be a dominant player and still go out there and help the team win ball games, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to walk away. You know, this is going into year 14, which is crazy. But when I was younger, I used to always say I want to play 15. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, now, and let me get a piece of advice on that now, because I was saying one time, Bishop Jakes and I, we always do our little self-check where he comes and check me, mentoring me and counsel me. We'll meet over like at the Ritz-Carlton or something. We have a spa day. Was in there. Zach Thomas was in there, the linebacker. You remember Zach played in Miami, came to Dallas. At the time, I was sitting there playing. Zach was in there and his head was down. I said, man, what's up? We were talking. He said, man, I just don't know. I said, what's up, Zach? He said, I don't know how much long I got, Mike. I mean, he said, I'm playing probably about 25 snaps a game, and he was down to making probably about $6-7 million a year, whatever. Before that, I think he was making like $12-13 million a year, playing 53 games. He was like, man, now I'm basically down to $6-7 million a year, playing 25 snap. I said, Zach, you measuring that thing against the wrong thing. You measuring what you got to what you have. I said, you ought to measure what you got right now to what I have. I got zero plays. I got $0 coming here. You better stay right where you at long as you can. You know what I'm saying, Claire?
I hear you loud and clear.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you the same thing. Don't measure it to yesterday. Don't measure it to what you used to be. Say, oh, wait, I better look at this other dude who ain't got none of it, man. And you play this game as long as you can, man, because it's just nothing like it, dog. Nothing like walking on the field, man, with 53 of your guys, man, trying to impose your will on another team, man. Like you talking about, especially what you do. That's the root of it. I'm gonna stop this run game. So make sure you just I say play as long as you can, brother. Let me hit you right quick on these on these games coming up, man. I know you know you're gonna be in this business when you retire. Stop playing. You'll be in the business as soon as you retire. So let's get some practice at it right now. Let's break down these games. Let's just get a little practice, Khalil. Let's break down what you see in that Tampa and Packers game.
You know, it's Tom Brady in the championship game. You know, statistically speaking, you don't really want to go against Tom Brady. But what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now, and I tell you, a lot of people were talking about the GM being, you know, very – when they took Jordan Love in the first round last year, a lot of people talk about the GM being a bad GM. But I think he might have been the best GM because he sparked a fire in Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to play good regardless, but the Aaron Rodgers team right now – I don't know. I can't wait to see it because this is the battle of two people that you don't want to bet against, that you don't want to go against. These are two of the best to ever do it. And I think Aaron Rodgers want to put some respect on his name going against the GOAT.
The GOAT. I mean, the GOAT. And an incredible thing. I think this is amazing, man. For Tom Brady to leave one place and go to the other. You know how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl, man. And lead that team to a Super Bowl. That's an incredible story. And, Clarence, you know what I love about the story I've been talking about more than anything is what he's done with Antonio Brown. Now, Antonio Brown, you know, he made sure he stayed in connection with him, gave him that opportunity. And Antonio Brown's been doing great. You know what I'm saying? I know you're a spiritual man like me. I mean, what are your thoughts about things like that when you see a guy like Tom put his stuff on the line, his career on the line, to help another man like that?
Yeah, we were talking about earlier, though, about second chances, and, you know, sometimes it takes third or fourth chances. And if you believe in somebody who their core is, we're all human, we all make mistakes. And so you got to give people opportunity to redeem themselves. And Antonio Brown, when you talk to him face-to-face, you know he's a good guy. You know, I've had plenty of conversations with him. He's a good guy. You know, he has his moments like anybody else. But I think Tom Brady knows, you know, first of all, you know, Antonio Brown loves the game of football. And so when he's on the football field, he's going to shine. And so, you know, I think he's at his best when he's on the football field because it's going to try to make him strive to be better off the field. So Tom Brady, you know, fighting for him, advocating for him to get on that field was huge. And it's going to pay off for him, too, because, you know, now, you know, I mean, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, I mean, he's a guy who's been in the situation before, knows how to make the big play in the big moment. And if I'm Tom Brady, you know, and, you know, I mean, I know Gronk's his first choice because he knows Gronk. They did it together for a while. But Antonio Brown ain't a bad guy to go to. And that's, I mean, he has options between Mike Evans. I mean, it's everybody. I'm a big Chris Godwin fan, too. And Brady's been balling for him. I mean, come on, how many weapons do you need? And my man, they call my man Playoff Lenny, you know, Leonard Fournette. You know, that's my guy, too. So, you know, I'm happy that they're playing well. And all my coaching staff, too. All my old coaching staff.
That's right. You're with Leonard, man. I thought Leonard, when I saw him at LSU, I thought he would be doing what Derrick Henry is doing. He has that kind of ability. Why is he not having those kind of years?
You know, what's crazy, though, is he's had monster games. But then he has, you know, it's just been small injuries. You know, something that, you know, makes him miss four or five games. You know, so he's put up 1,000 yards, he put up 1,000 yards, I think, 2 or 3 years. And the one year he didn't, he missed like 10 games. But, you know, he I don't think he's played a full 16-game season, you know, and that's the biggest thing is just, you know, I mean, that's what his issue was at LSU, too, though, is he'll miss a game here and there. But I tell you, you know, he's starting to get healthy. You know, he's starting to see things a little different, starting to get a little more mature, you know, starting to learn. And, you know, I'm happy for him because I feel like, you know, when he went to Temple, a lot of people, you know, especially because the other guy, Jones can play. Ronald Jones is a beast, too.
Right. Ronald Jones can run.
You know, but then, you know, you got to take your hat off to the front office over there and picking him up for depth. And then now, you know, when the playoffs come around and Ronald Jones is hurt, man, playoff, when he shows up and balling, you know, and he's making play after play. And so for me, I just feel like, you know, it's like giving him opportunities. Just keep giving me opportunities. Eventually, I'm going to hit it because I know who I am. I know how great I am. You keep giving me opportunities, and eventually, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, and he'll pay it off, man. You talk about maturing into greatness. I mean, that boy Josh Allen over there is maturing into being playing some great football, going up against Patrick Mahomes. Give me your AFC thought on that matchup.
All right. Now, Kansas City
– just played Buffalo now. You know.
Kansas City – has looked more mortal than they used to. You know, and so, you know, there's a time where KC, you had to play your best ball and it still was going to be, you know, you weren't sure if it was going to be enough, you know, because they just are so gifted. But lately they've looked a lot more mortal, you know, a lot more like just a regular team, with, you know, with some good players on it. But, you know, I will always respect what they got over there because the defense is playing good. The Honey Badger, you know, was what I call him because we teammates for in Arizona for a while. He plays with so much passion. He's a leader. He's a natural leader.
He is a good dude.
And that defense won the ball game for him last week. You know what
right.
I mean? Who's awesome. I got a lot of ex-teammates, you know, that's sitting here balling right now. But he was in Jacksonville with me for a year or two. I knew that, you know, he made that big play, and that was huge, you know, getting the yards and being able to win that ball game for him. But I feel like the defense is playing at a very high level right now. And if the defense playing like that, they're going to be tough to beat. But Buffalo's defense played really good, too, in the playoffs. You know, in the regular season, they have the talent, though. They have the corners that can run and that can keep up with those guys. So it's going to be interesting to see. I, you know, to me, I feel like this game's going to come down to, you know, to what defense plays better because they both are high-powered offenses. You know, it's number one, number two, or I guess Green Bay's number one. So, but the two of the top three defenses, I mean, offenses out there. And so it's going to come down to what defense can get one or two more stops. And I feel like the Bills offense is going to be out there potent. You know, they're going to be making plays. They're going to be out there. I mean, this could be a game that they could put up, you know, 40 points on. But I think if the Chiefs defense plays like I know they're capable of playing and they play up to that level and they keep them to 24 or less, Chiefs win that ball game. They might win by a touchdown or two.
Big fella, you know, in 3-4 years, whenever you do 3-5 years, how long God gives you to play, when you walk away, people are going to be like asking everybody, well, what are your thoughts of Calais Campbell or in the career he's had? So as I get ready to let you go, let me ask. I want you to give me your thoughts on Phillip Rivers and his career, and then Drew Brees and his career. Give me your last thoughts. And remember, people will be doing the same thing for you one day. They'll be saying,
sir, it's a blessing. It really
on Calais Campbell. It's real.
I would say, as far as Phillip Rivers, man, he's a guy who, you know, first thing you got to talk about is his trash talking ability. My man, great trash talker.
I love that about from the you'll get that from the quarterbacks, man. Yeah, that's why I love makes him different.
Yeah, that competitiveness, you know, that competitiveness that where he just, you know, that he wants it bad. And he's going to tell you he wants it bad and look you in your face and tell you, I just did that, you know. but he did it with so much flair. He did it in a way where you couldn't help but appreciate it because he wasn't going to, you know, curse you out or say something disrespectful. He was going to do it in a fun, competitive manner, which he was like competing against your boy. You know, like, because we could definitely talk trash. You know, that's just part of the game, you know. And so I always appreciated that. And then he puts up points. He's a playmaker, you know, and he knows how to, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, you knew that the game was never over with him on the other side. If you up by 21, he can come back and beat you. You know, fourth quarter comes around and no lead is safe. You knew that, you know, I mean, he was going to get rid of the ball quick as a defensive lineman. He used to hate playing against him because, you know, you would only get like two or three chances a game because he wasn't going to hold it long. So you have to make it count. But, you know, he's definitely, I think, one of the pioneers of this passing league because, you know, when I got to the league, it was definitely a running league still. You know, right. It was running league with the play action and he didn't drop back, but you weren't throwing the ball 40 times a game.
Right.
He's one of the first quarterbacks to really start throwing the ball 50, 60 times a game if he had to, you know. I mean, I can't remember I think he just threw the ball 58 times ago. It's crazy.
Yeah.
58 times a game. But it's fun to see and watch him, you know, be able to, you know, throw the ball every play and win ball games and compete. And it's just as a competitor, man, you got to love the way he played the game.
And Drew Brees on his way out, looks like he's on his way out. I mean, it looks like, you know, but
It's going to be hard for him to walk away.
It's hard to walk away, especially if you got a team that you think you're ready with. You know what I'm saying? That you think you are ready. So you think there's a possibility Drew Brees still play?
That fire in his eye, you know, you could tell it was still there. So there's always a possibility. And I know his kids are a certain age where you want to be around him a little bit more. And, you know, I'm sure the wife is like, you sure you want to play this one more time? You know, you sure you want to do this? Last time was the last time, you know? But he's contemplating. I mean, that's
all right. Yeah, so, all right. Then we'll leave it at it because you're right. Sometimes you get away for a few weeks, then you're like, man, I'm going to do one more year. You know what I'm saying? That's just so we should hold it until he officially announces it, just in case. You know what I'm saying? Just in case. Clarence, thanks for taking the time, my brother. I appreciate you just stopping by and chatting with us, man, on MIP.
Hey, man, always a pleasure. One of my favorite people. My favorite people, baby. I appreciate you,
big fella. All right, big fella. Tell your family I said hello, man. God bless you, brother.
You too, man. God bless you.
Man, it's always great to catch up with any one of my guys from the U. So I want to thank Calais Campbell for spending a little time with me. But before I get into my playmakers, we talked to Calais Campbell about how much longer does he think he will or want to play. We've gotten that answer on some guys. At least we know we have that answer right now on one guy. Phillip Rivers says that's it. And he retires and walks away from the game. And to that, a man that has played the way Phillip Rivers has played, has put his neck on the line. Just like Calais that I was talking about, he did a different thing at the quarterback position. He trash talked you. Nobody ever trash talked from the quarterback position. But Phillip Rivers, he is intense and he did it. You think about how people will be remembered. Yeah, he threw a lot of passes. He has a lot of statistics. But I think if you ever ask anyone, that's the thing they will remember the most. The fire in which Phillip Rivers, the passion in which Phillip Rivers, the drive in which Phillip Rivers played with. That may be what get him in. That hall where you may wear a gold jacket. Phillip Rivers is not the only person that may be departing our great game. The other guy we watch a semi-farewell, but it felt like a real farewell. And that was Drew Brees. Nothing's official yet. He's going to take some time, like Calais Campbell and I talked about. He's going to take some time and make a decision on what he wants to do. But if he is walking away, know ye this, he will go down as one of the greatest. Ultimately, he'll be 1-2 with Tom Brady for quite a while, statistically across the board. But what I think puts him in the conversation in a different way than most and a lot of the guys would be in a conversation is not that he won a Super Bowl. It's how and why he won a Super Bowl. He went to a city to rebirth the city that was destroyed, devastated by Hurricane Katrina. I was in that stadium that Monday night when football returned to New Orleans. I'm telling you right now, I swear to you, on my kids, I'm getting cheer bumps thinking about it. On my kids right now, I'm getting cheer bumps because I was there. I put it in my Hall of Fame speech. I said this is much more than a game. I gave you the date, and I told you when I witnessed the day that it became much more than a game. I watched people walk in that stadium that didn't even know who had made it, who was alive. I watched them grab each other. I watched them stay hours after that game was over. Hours after that game was over. The devastation that was caused in Louisiana really began the healing process that night. And I'm going to tell you something, people. I'm going to tell you something. It was one of the most incredible things I had ever witnessed. So we'll talk numbers about Drew Brees and we'll ultimately talk about the ring. He only had one ring. But I'm going to tell you, every time you talk about it with me, go look at how, why, and what that ring brought.
So if it is our last time seeing these guys on a football field, we should all want to say thank you for what you've given us. You've inspired. You've given us all something that we can live off of for the rest of our lives. So we say to you, go in peace. And whatever you may endeavor for the rest of your life. And thank you for sharing your gifts and talents with us. Speaking of gifts and talents, let's get to my playmaker of the divisional round. And I can talk about a lot of guys here. I can talk Tom Brady, who had 199 yards, two pass TDs, because it was in the moment he made the plays to win the game. I can talk Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs over there when Buffalo made the play to win the game. But my playmaker of the week is that bad man Aaron Rodgers. 296 yards, two pass TDs, one rush TD. You saw that rush TD? That showed you Aaron Rodgers still got something in those legs. He doesn't use them as much, but he still got something in those legs. That was a sweet little TD run right there. Faked ball, got the guy up in the air, did a spin, boom, touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, you are my playmaker of the divisional round. Folks, one last thing before I go. I usually like to end on my playmakers of the week. But my heart says I have to say this. I don't know what the next 4 years will bring. But I did watch some of that inauguration today. And with where we are as a country and where we have been and the things that we have gone through and endured, I'm not much to talk politics. I won't ever talk politics. It won't tell you. I won't say I'm Democrat, I'm Republican, I'm independent. None of that. I won't get into it. But I am human, and I always want to talk people. And watching that inauguration today, a lot of things to be said. All I could think about was it was nice to hear words of talking, hearing words talking about unity again, putting the United back in the United States, us coming together as one people, really one people. We're bound by blood, not the color of our skin. That doesn't determine life or death. It's not the color of our skin. It's the blood, and all of our blood is red. So if ever we want to focus on a color, let's focus on the color that makes us all the same instead of always focusing on the color that makes us different. That's all I'm saying. The inauguration filled my heart to hear us all talking again about trying to find a way to get back together again. Folks, I know I went in a lot of directions other than what we usually do. And I want to thank you in advance for giving me the leeway just to share those few different thoughts. Thank you for spending the time. And let's go forward. And let's all talk and work towards unity. May God bless us all.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.